Hello, and welcome to the Monetizing Integrated Print Communications webinar presented by Printing Impressions Magazine and sponsored by Kodak. I'm Mark Smith, Technology Editor of Printing Impressions and the moderator for today's presentation. Before I introduce the speakers, there are some quick housekeeping matters to go over. If anyone is having trouble logging into the presentation, please check that you have your web browser set to allow pop-ups. If you are logged in but having other problems with seeing or hearing the presentation, you can let us know by using the Ask a Button question at the bottom or troubleshoot the problem yourself by clicking the Help button. You can save a PDF version of the presentation slides by clicking the Download Slides button at any time. The Invite a Colleague button is available to alert your peers that they're missing out on great content. The event will also be available for on-demand viewing for the next 90 days. We will address questions from the audience as time permits, which again can be submitted by using the Ask a Question box at the bottom of your screen. To set the stage for the panel discussion, our two printer panelists, Greg Shapiro, President of HOT Printing and Graphics, and John Henderson, Director of Digital Marketing Services and Technology at the Bureau, will each give a brief overview of the company. But first, Steve Miller, Worldwide Future Product Manager, Production Workflow at Kodak, we'll get us started with a look at the state of the industry. Steve?
Great. Thanks, Mark. So just to get things going and set the stage for our roundtable discussion, we wanted to provide a little bit of a snapshot of the current state of the industry, maybe some brief history to set framework for discussions that will come. And as many of you are well aware, the industry has been under a great transformation ongoing for several years now, as the traditionally printed collateral, you know, continues to migrate to electronic formats. And even preceding the recession, we were seeing a great movement of collateral. Even in my business and software development, we no longer print user guides and manuals, and even now a delivery of the finished product is done via the web, via download. We no longer even produce packaged goods in some cases. So those trends will continue, and they were really accelerated. I guess the negative impacts of the trends were accelerated by the 2008-2009 recession, where we ended up with situations where there was a lot of overcapacity in the market. And, of course, markets are very fickle beasts, and they will self-correct themselves. And, unfortunately, it was some statistics placed up on whatthethink.com by Dr. Joe Webb, where over 2,800 printers in 2009, it was estimated, went out of business, either through mergers and acquisitions or, unfortunately, you know, having to cut the lights off. And that really is a run rate of about 7 printers a day. And it's really hard to really wrap your head around about how dramatic the ripple effects of the recession was on the business. Now, compounding these trends and the product types and how they're being delivered, we also have another transition that's ongoing. It's more of a technology transition from offset to digital printing. Now, that's not without precedent in our industry, right? For the old-timers like myself, there was a previous dramatic transition from letterpress to offset many, many years ago, back in the 70s. So you should not expect a rapid change. You will see offset print. It's still very, very relevant. It will be very, very relevant for many, many years to come. So we'll have this situation that we'll have to deal with letterpress and offset, where there's a hybrid environment, where you'll manage jobs that move between each of those types of printing technologies. And each printer himself, you know, based on utilization of the equipment, will make some decision at some point in time that it makes sense to decommission, you know, the older technology and move to the new. So those trends are going to continue to impact us. Now, as well, you hear a lot of terms of print becoming a commodity. And, you know, one of the areas that I do talk about it a lot is the impact of really the last 10 years of our focus on standards. And that's the kind of the dirty little secret of industry standards is it levels the playing field for everyone. So when you can move files and information quickly from one supplier to the other, that's the downside. You can move files and information quickly from one supplier to the next, and you could lose the business. So when you have situations where you're competing with like equipment and like service offerings, you end up, you know, really competing on price and service levels. And those are really a downward spiral. It's hard to maintain a price position when, you know, their cross-town competitor has the same CTV device, the same press, the same plates, the same workflow in some cases. So we're now seeing a little bit of a shift. The market is coming back. As I mentioned, markets correct themselves, and people are creative, and they'll look for solutions. And we're seeing our customers look again for ways to differentiate themselves. We'll still leverage our industry standards. We'll still be very focused on supporting those initiatives. But how can we take these, as I call them, technology building blocks and align them in different ways and shapes and forms to give you, the customer, maybe a little bit more of a competitive advantage against that cross-town rival? And really what we're looking at is a situation where you will be able to succeed in this industry. I don't think it's an industry that is going to go away. You know, we're looking at estimates of $500 billion when you include commercial publishing, newspaper, and packaging, and it's a stable business. So what we need customers, I think, to do is start to think a little bit about, you know, where their business sits. How do you differentiate yourself? Or is your core competency one in which you should focus on optimization? You know, if you're a gang printer and you're really, really good at it, instead of trying to be a little bit of everything to everybody, do you focus your efforts in one specific area and really nail it? And then from there, you know, it's how you then integrate it and transform the business. So as you go forward and throughout the discussion, I think this afternoon, we're going to be talking a little bit about what we call Print Plus. It's, you know, printing, it is a very, very important part of our global economy. It is the delivery of content and also products to shelf, and it will stay for many, many years. And then really the next question is, you know, what is the next step? And then what does Print Plus really mean? Now, as a person whose sole responsibility is one of focusing on innovation, it's my job as future product manager, I'm looking 3 to 5 years out, making sure that all of our very large R&D teams are going to be positioned at the right place and time to deliver the solutions to the market when the market needs them. And a lot of times I go and see these type of presentations and these slides presented, and it, you know, it looks so simple, right? If you could just understand your customers' needs and innovate, all things just fall into place, and it's really not that easy. Innovation is an end result. Innovation is the end result of a process that's really one of observation. It's data collection and analytics that end up with a good business case to support some investment that you want to make in your business. It's the same for us. It's the same for you guys as a printer. So, you know, not only do you understand your customer needs, but your own business. What are you really good at? And one example, I think, of some innovation that doesn't have to be a step change improvement. One example, this past year, we saw a lot of adoption of ink optimizing technologies. People utilizing concepts, technology concepts from the past. If you're, again, an old timer, you were probably doing GCR scans with transparencies, you know, on a cross seal device many, many years ago. And the end result here is by some retooling of these types of concepts into some sophisticated algorithms, we can reduce the amount of cyan, magenta, and yellow ink needed to reproduce a product on an offset printing press. And I won't tell you who the customer is or where they're located because I did notice some buyers online. Don't want to give away any advantage. But one customer took 18% reduction in cost of their UV inks last year just by this one small innovative step that they were able to do to drive down cost, increase productivity because we had all the color management solutions that we provide to assist them, took risk out of the process. They ended up with retained earnings that, of course, they put back into the business. And the end result, we hope, is they'll have, you know, customer loyalty driven out of those types of activities. So, you know, there I hope we'll set the stage for the remaining of our discussion, and I'll turn it back over to Mark, who's going to introduce our honored guest here. We're going to give you some background on their businesses.
Thank you, Steve, for that great introduction. Actually, I'm going to have each of the presenters give their own introduction to personalize it. So, Greg, why don't you give us a taste of what HOT is all about?
Okay, Mark. Well, good afternoon, everybody. HOT Printing and Graphics is a mid-sized, family-owned, traditional, six-color commercial printer who's been gradually transitioning to a marketing services provider over the past 2 years. As a 35-year-old organization, as you can imagine, we've already been through several reinventions of our business since beginning as a small typesetter in my mother's home, known then as House of Type, which is where our initials, H-O-T, in our name come from today. You notice the first half of the title of this webinar is Change Inspires Innovation, and I think we could also call it Change Forces Innovation, and we certainly have been forced by what is happening in our industry and our economy and our local market to change and to innovate. Steve referenced the statistics on printers going out of business, and I had prepared in my bullet points, like our market 10 years ago, which is a mid-sized market, had over a dozen large commercial lithographers and was also corporate headquarters to probably no less than 10 Fortune 500 companies. We have watched these numbers dwindle to where today you can count the major players in commercial printing in our market and the Fortune 500s now based there on one hand. Fortunately, we've been one of the printers that has successfully been able to innovate and adapt and have actually grown in the midst of all this change through adding services and also through acquiring several smaller, weaker competitors along the way. Just a few of these milestones or significant steps that we've taken in the last 2 years to transform and innovate would include some things like significantly upgrading our digital capabilities with the installation of our first Kodak NexPress 2500 press with dimensional texturing and glossing capabilities. We added a full-time marketing services manager to support and assist our sales force and our clients and to coordinate training and marketing events. We've obviously expanded our software products a lot to enable new media services such as Perl's, microsites, variable data printing, QR codes, et cetera. We've also relied and brought in Kodak's market mover business development specialist, who's been a really good partner and an asset to work with not only our management but our sales reps and clients. We acquired a major competitor in the past year, which not only expanded our traditional offset capabilities with larger sheet sizes, but gave us a second NexPress, as well as kitting and fulfillment and assembly expanded offerings. So, you know, in addition to that, we've tried to create some unique, I call them hybrid products, using a combination of our new services and traditional services. It was mentioned, you know, the need to differentiate, and we've tried to utilize the things that we have strengths in to do that. Just a few of the things is the one you see on the screen there was like a hybrid product utilizing our die cutting along with our dimensional and textured printing off of the NexPress along with a Perl campaign, which was a highly successful campaign for one of our clients. We also happen to have our brother company next door is a large envelope manufacturer and converter, and we've done some unique things in taking dimensional textured printing from our NexPresses and manufactured custom envelopes using the raised texture. So we've tried to do some things like that. At the same time, we've tried to strengthen things like our mail services and our partnering relationships with some of our vendors that we work with locally. So that's just a little snapshot of HOT and what we're doing today.
Thank you, Greg. That's very good. Okay, John, now it's your turn. Tell us a little bit about the Bureau.
Sure. Well, I appreciate being here today. You know, The Bureau has a lot of history to go over, and I won't bore everybody with 110-plus years. But the thing that rings true in what everybody said today is, you know, change and innovation. And that's about the only thing that's been constant over our 110-year history is we're changing, and we're changing every day. The Bureau is based in Minneapolis, and we operate a single location. And, you know, we really started over the past years recently looking at the work we did and the customers we worked with and the partnerships we had and realized, you know, we provide marketing. And that's why we kind of refer to ourselves today as a marketing manufacturer. But, you know, we focus in areas ranging from point of purchase to labeling and packaging and, you know, certainly marketing services. And, you know, the key for us as we've made it through this transition process or are continuing to work through this transition process is that we need to play off our strengths and we need to grow as a business and not try to make a change, but rather, you know, expand on what we did. So, you know, we've made continued investments into our business. We've recently acquired a new press. We brought in a large format press. So we've now got a 73-inch press on the floor to further supplement our point-of-purchase niche market. And we've continued our investment in our solutions on the digital side. We've upgraded our next presses, added additional glossing capabilities, added specialty finishing capabilities to really strengthen our position. Where the Bureau's strength is, you know, that long-term marketing partnership. And what we expect, you know, going forward as we develop that and continue to improve that is more change. We've got changes every day in our internal operation and our processes. We've had to rename departments. We used to have a pre-press department in the traditional sense, and now we call it, you know, a marketing operation. You know, it's as much of the activity being done by pre-press as being done, you know, by pre-press, but in addition to that, they're also handling prototyping and pre-sales activities to help with that partnership. So over the past 100 years and probably over the next 100 years, though I don't expect to see all 100 of those, we hope to make a lot more change and a lot more innovation that allows us to continue surviving.
Okay, thank you, John. I want to remind the audience that you can submit a question at any time by using the Ask a Question box, but I have a couple to get things started. The first one I'm going to throw out to both, but first to Greg. In your company name, you use the word printing, but in your intro, you talked about marketing service providers. How do you position to your customers? You know, do you define your company, and is it different depending upon the customer?
Yes, Mark. I think it depends on who that target customer is, and you know, we've tried not to lock ourselves into a corner. We've certainly had discussion about changing our name, and we're actually on our third name in 35 years of history. We've certainly had some discussion on that, but I'm still somewhat comfortable, you know, with our name. But what we've done is kind of added a slogan that we've used for about the last year to kind of point people in the direction, you know, that we're moving with marketing services, and that is the slogan is Solutions for Creative Marketing. So if you see our a lot of our literature that we do for our customers and educational things, and even with our logo a lot of the times, you know, it'll be HOT Printing and Graphics, but the tagline is Solutions for Creative Marketing. So we've, you know, we've gone with that, and I'd say so far it's working fairly well.
Okay. And, John, you also used the term marketing several times, but then mentioned, you know, one of your recent acquisitions was a big press. What do you do about that printing moniker and positioning yourself as a printer with a client versus marketing? How do you balance that with clients?
Well, I think, you know, for our strategy, the key is, you know, to have that conversation with the customer that is about their marketing objective. And whether that's in-store marketing, you know, in the form of point-of-purchase signage, and our ability to manage and handle the manufacturing from beginning to end. You know, may print, it may not. You know, it's kind of a secondary piece of that discussion. But we talk about the abilities to deliver the end result and the solution. And we try to get involved far enough upstream that, you know, we're not necessarily talking at the print specification phase of the discussion, but the marketing objective phase.
Sean, there's been a lot of talk in the industry about, you know, selling your clients on the ROI for the project rather than like a per-piece cost with, say, a direct mail. But what about for the service provider? You know, where have you seen the ROI come from, and what have you had to do, you know, what have been the keys to being successful with integrated marketing services?
Yeah, you know, certainly the idea of not having the price per piece commodity conversation is wonderful, and you know, certainly we try to avoid that piece of the discussion, or not avoid it, but you know, try to drive the conversation elsewhere. But you know, the ROI discussion point is dangerous. You have to be prepared, and you have to understand your customer's business, and you have to understand the impact of the costs to an initiative and a service. You know, certainly, you know, the primary role in the, you know, providing marketing services that we find to be the case is really education, and working with our customers and helping them to understand what that process is, because a lot of our customers don't even have the necessary data to help us calculate an ROI.
What about for you, Greg? I assume that data issue is also there for you. But, you know, how has the ROI worked for you as a provider, and, you know, have there been any key steps you had to take to make it a success?
Sure. Well, I think we all realize, Mark, that it's definitely a process, and, you know, our ROI is coming in the new services as we're growing volume, and we're, you know, we're always keeping in mind that we are building with a higher margin digital business. So, you know, even though we're pushing all of the cross media and the newer marketing services, we're not de-emphasizing our core services either. You know, and our reality is that, you know, offset printing is still paying the bills around here, but at the same time, it's becoming a smaller piece of the pie in terms of our sales. And, you know, we like selling higher margin, value-added kinds of services, and you know, we're getting them to where they're profitable, even though it might not be the, you know, the major part of our profit. We're getting to where they're profitable, and the trends are definitely up. So, you know, we're not running away from offset, but you know, we're definitely embracing the newer, higher margin services to get the ROIs that we know we need.
We actually had a question from the audience that kind of dovetails in here, and so Greg, I'll start with you. As you look at offering these marketing services and some creative services that may go along with putting together a campaign, does that put you in conflict with the services that, you know, an ad agency or design studio client might be offering, and if so, how do you manage that potential conflict?
Yes, yeah, good question. And, you know, we've always been sensitive to that issue because, as I mentioned in my introduction, our roots are in typesetting, and, you know, a high percent of our clients have been creatives and ad agencies. And you notice that when I gave the little slogan a few minutes ago, you know, we made it sound, you know, we made it sound like, you know, we're supporting creatives, you know, and not being a marketing company. So I know it's kind of a fine line, but what we've really done is partnered with those creatives. And we've found out that, you know, with a lot of this newer technology, we know more than the ad agencies, and we know more than a lot of the creative agencies. So they're hungry for this information, and they want to see these success stories and samples. So we've really also become an educator. The piece that's on the audience view right now, was a collaboration between, we did a lunch and learn, I'll make this short, but we did a lunch and learn where we invited several creatives in and talked about a lot of these things, and out of that, this creative went to one of their large customers, who was a chemical company, and developed this piece right here, this cross-media piece, which was utilizing the dimensional printing, pearls, VDP, even our envelopes. You see the translucent envelope, and a microsite with live streaming video. And if we hadn't educated that creative agency and got them to expand their horizons a little bit, this piece never would have happened, which had a 20 times better ROI in terms of response to this VIP invitation event than what they had the previous year with just a return postcard RSVP.
John, when you were talking about, you know, trying to get in there earlier, has that put you at odds with at all with any of your clients? And if so, how do you handle that situation?
It's an important thing to keep in mind and be aware of. You know, for us, we've really positioned ourselves as a marketing manufacturer. So we've partnered with a lot of marketing firms and agencies, and really where they are weaker in their offering is they're great at coming up with a concept and a theme and an overall plan, but they all lack the necessary tools and skills to implement. And where we've had success is because of our understanding of the marketing, our ability to manufacture that or implement those pieces of that, you know, campaign are a nice synergy ultimately. You know, we find that certainly there are scraps that, you know, could go either way, and we certainly like to, you know, get an opportunity to, you know, capture that revenue. But what we found is, you know, by really approaching these guys as a resource to them, you know, we can eliminate that need for direct competition. And really what has proven to be a great opportunity is, you know, these spin-off campaigns or these campaigns and efforts that are a little smaller than the large agencies want to handle and deal with that are a result of a previous campaign. You know, those are great opportunities. You know, I kind of equate it to, you know, in the years ago print world, you know, the reruns, you know, or rerun with change. You know, the designer or the agency doesn't always want to be burdened with that piece of the process. So when a large campaign kicks off and you might be stuck in the production only role in that process, you know, it's the rerun with change where you have an opportunity to bring that extra value even more so, and really in a way that's not threatening to the marketing agencies.
To pick up on a question from the audience then, John, it was asking about estimating. Do you find there's an effective software tool you can use, or when you're having to, you know, tailor what you're offering to the client depending upon if they have it for campaign or if it's starting from campaign, you know, are you able to sell, do you try to focus on selling a program, and can a software tool manage that?
Hey, estimating is one of the largest challenges we face. So many of the projects that we work on with customers are so customized and so unique that, you know, it certainly has ruled out, you know, priceless estimating. You know, on the traditional print side, we've always been, in recent history, have been a EFI Hagen shop. And certainly a tool like Hagen does not have the intelligence or structure to really, really effectively do estimating. And we've struggled with that. What we do is, we do it really through we define a project scope, and really we kind of treat it more like like you would in a, you know, software, you know, custom software development process. You know, we scope out an application or a process or a project and really define all of the activities that are going to be required for it and assign values of time and then, you know, rates based on the skill set required for each of those activities. So it's a lengthy, tedious process that, certainly the more of these campaigns and the more projects and initiatives we're a part of, the easier it gets because, you know, you learn lessons and you develop tools. But for the most part, we're doing it, you know, outside of the traditional software estimating tools, and working to really develop our own as we accumulate enough experience.
Similar story for you, Greg, or have you found anything that really works for you?
Yeah, I'd kind of parallel what John is saying there. We certainly haven't mastered that. We are able to do some of the basics in our Avante estimating system, but you know, we're trying to build in that value-added factor too, and you know, we're probably not doing campaigns maybe the size of John's, but it definitely requires an extra look from management.
I see. I think you know, it's obvious for everyone who's been struggling the last couple of years with the recession and trying to optimize their operations to cut costs wherever they can and looking for that work. But now that hopefully things are getting a little better, John, where do you see opportunities to further improve your operation and or markets you think where there's going to be growth opportunities going forward?
Well, certainly I don't think that we've completely exhausted our opportunities in the areas we are striving on. And, you know, certainly, you know, from a efficiency and improvement to the business, there's countless areas we can make refinements. You know, we can every week that goes by, we're able to find another opportunity to improve something in the operation of our business. But I'd say the biggest opportunity for us is to continue developing and educating our sales force as to what our capabilities are, what our strengths are, and equally important is how to sell those or how to have conversations and, you know, engage necessary management to, you know, to seek out those opportunities. And I think that, you know, that sales education process is probably our greatest opportunity to improve things in the future. It's, you know, the sales process is completely different when you start talking about, you know, marketing than it is when you're talking about print. And it's a tough transition for a sales rep.
What have you done to help make that transition, you know, help your sales team make that transition, or have you had to bring in new people?
We've done a combination of things. We certainly, when adding to our sales force, sought out people with a skill set, you know, that is more analogous to, you know, selling services and marketing and, you know, not a commodity sale. But, that's only part of the answer. I mean, we still have an existing sales force who is a good sales force, and, you know, they understand their product and their customers, and they just need help. And what we've really done is we've made resources available that are non-competitive to the sales rep, you know, management resources, operational resources to be a part of the sales process. We've morphed our pre-press department into a, you know, or our pre-press management into marketing operations management so that they can, you know, span and account for more of their time being pre-sales activities, whether that be prototyping, whether that be mock-ups, whether that be, you know, providing, you know, examples, you know, that sort of thing, brainstorming with customers to really help them, you know, and with sales reps to be able to, you know, strengthen that salesperson's effectiveness. And, you know, certainly, you know, training, you know, every opportunity we have where we have a successful campaign or a less than successful campaign, we try to bring the sales force together and share those results and share the techniques that were used and share what was well received and what wasn't well received.
Okay. Greg, you mentioned buying a company. What about next steps? You know, where are you looking or see opportunities to improve your operations, make yourself more competitive, or markets you're targeting?
Sure. Well, we think as far as growth, Mark, that, you know, as far as the marketing services, we, you know, after 2 years here, we've just scratched the surface. We know we could be a lot more proactive, and every campaign we do, we're getting our confidence up, and we're building our own success stories and case studies. So, you know, we believe we have a lot of potential yet to grow, and of course every successful campaign that you do is driving that print volume, you know, whether it's offset or digital. I mean, it's driving mail volume. We're still excited about the opportunities we have with just expanding the marketing services. But we are always on the lookout for opportunities for acquisitions, and it was never our strategy, but just as things have turned out, we've probably done it 10 times over the last 20 years. And, you know, it probably represents maybe 50% of our business today are accounts and equipment and employees that that we have acquired through acquisition. So, you know, it's almost anymore where, based on the history, people come to us, you know, whether they're in financial trouble or they want to retire or need an exit strategy. So we certainly see future acquisitions, especially with the continuing shakeout in the industry, as a growth avenue for us.
I see. What about as you've gotten into new services like Pearls, or I don't know if you've done any work with QR codes or, you know, with campaign management, do you look to develop those services yourself? Do you go turn to like a turnkey supplier, maybe like a Mindfire? Greg, how do you, you know, when you're looking to expand, how do you find that expertise?
Sure. We have our marketing services director, Cindy's done a really good job of doing the research on some of those things, and we have certainly gone outside. I mean, we're not that big of a company, but, you know, we're working with Printables on VDP software and Fusion Pro and Lynx to give us the softwares we need to be able to provide those services. So we're definitely getting some third-party help when it comes to, you know, to things like Pearls and that. So kind of a combination, if that answers your question, Mark. We're doing some in-house, like maybe the microsites, you know, but then we're using a printable product to, you know, to enable the Pearl.
Okay. What about at the Bureau, John? Where do you find your solutions?
Well, that's a little bit like Greg. You know, it's all over the board. We've over the years accumulated a lot of tools and brought in a lot of skill set to be able to deliver the solutions people are asking for. And the short answer is there is not a single takes care of everything product. You know, it's kind of like the estimating challenge. There's just too much variability. You know, we've had success and strength with, you know, products that we had for years and using them to incorporate, you know, into the deliverable that we need. We've even been able to tie, you know, a traditional workflow like Printergy into some of the delivery of some of these newer products. But we've had to go, you know, outside of that traditional realm and go with things like, you know, certainly Fusion Pro is a tool that we've used in the past, Darwin, Insight VDP, XMPI. You know, they're all great tools. They're all great solutions that each have their strengths and weaknesses. We've also had to supplement our resources internally, and we've really, over the last couple of years, been growing, you know, what I call both our IT staff and our development staff, because these types of products and projects in general require a different skill set than we had, you know, years ago. And you know, it's a much more technical process, and there's certainly opportunities for custom web and software development and custom database management and such. So, you know, we've had to hire.
As you've looked to get into some of those services, like the database work or creative services, marketing consulting, does that end up being a loss leader for the press, be it digital or offset, or is that something you can make? Can it be a profit center itself, John?
Absolutely, it can be a profit center. You know, I guess probably the easiest example, and it was probably one of the more terrifying ones for me, you know, a project that we had run as an on-demand print project for years. It had been running 3 or 4 years unchanged, and 4 years before that previous change for a customer. It was running every day. It was running, you know, in our digital printing operation, and they decided they wanted to resort to electronic delivery. And that was scary. You know, I saw my revenue declining. And what ultimately came of it was we were able to deliver a solution where we were able to fulfill their need electronically, supplemented by print in the cases where electronic wasn't viable, and pass on to the customer a savings to, for the most part in the form of postage, and actually increase our own margins. So we did lose some of our total revenue on the project when you factor out the postage. We actually increased, you know, the margin on the project, and it's been running for years since. So it's certainly something you have to be concerned about, and it's certainly something that the revenue that you can capture at that stage is very good revenue. It's very profitable if you execute properly, but it is likely to be less revenue. So, you know, you certainly, you know, need to keep the presses busy to keep, you know, pay overhead and cover costs. So it's a balancing act. But for us, it hasn't been necessary to do those exclusively as a loss leader.
We've got a question from the audience. We were talking earlier about, you know, third-party solutions for the more the software, the creative end. What about on the production side? I'm talking about a trade finisher or another company. Is it possible to outsource any of that production work, either printing or finishing, or does the time demand that you do it in-house? Greg, why don't we start with you?
Sure. I think it's definitely possible, Mark, and we do it. We have a lot of our own in-house finishing capabilities, and with this latest acquisition that we did in April, you know, we picked up die cutting, and we picked up a Morgana creasing machine along with some big presses and a next press. But we still, just because of workloads and deadlines, we outsource some of that work, and probably depends on your relationship with that trade finisher. But, you know, we have two excellent trade binderies that are within 5 miles of our plant. They work very closely with us, and you know, there is a certain amount of work that we still outsource, and you know, are able to add a markup on, and it just enhances what we're able to do for our clients.
What about at the Bureau, John? Is there any? Do you do any outsourcing, or do you handle it all in house?
You know, we do some outsourcing. Certainly we offer a pretty inclusive, service offering internally. But, there are times where it is necessary to rely on partners. And I'd say, that process has changed a little bit. To successfully outsource these types of projects and the output, even simplifying it, even variable data output in general, has required us to really, change and modify our process for how we track and how we actually engage a partner. But it's also caused us to look at, which finishers out there we want to work with and which ones are equipped to better receive and understand that type of data, because it is a different game, you know, having 10% overs, sent over with the job, or every record you being unique and you got to go back on press to remedy a shortage or a spoilage. We've certainly continued to partner, and we'll continue to. And I'd say the couple things that have been the biggest transition are we had to make some internal process changes to how we engaged an outsourcer and how we made it clear of what we are sending over and the criteria and the expectation was. And we've also had to make some changes with certain partners that we've chosen to work with that are better equipped to work with us on that type of project.
We were talking earlier, about the issue of the data, and that's still a stumbling block in terms of the client's database. But what about the business case for integrated communications, John? Are people aware and sold on the benefits that this can offer, or do you still have to convince them that it's worth doing an integrated campaign versus, say, a traditional per-piece static job?
You know, I think a lot of customers understand it. I think a lot of customers do it today without realizing it, but they do it through, maybe it's a business reply card and a call into a call center, model. And really what we try to emphasize is we're not talking about replacing, a piece of your campaign, but we're talking about supplementing, you know, adding a web component or adding a follow-up email or a, you know, QR code just provides another response channel and another way for people to work with you. You know, customers, you know, data sometimes makes that, you know, an impossibility. But, you know, even in addition to the data, sometimes we face customers not understanding what their objectives are with their campaign or what their upside is to varying successes of that campaign.
What about you, Greg? You showed us some samples on the screen. You know, are you finding with a lot of clients you're still starting from scratch, or do they have some idea of what they want, the technology can do and what they want to do?
I think it's a combination, Mark. You know, not to overuse our alligator piece, but the, you know, that was a case where, as I mentioned, we had kind of done some education with the creative people, and they actually designed the piece. They actually built the artwork, including the dimensional printing. We printed it on one of our next presses. We outsourced the die cutting, even though we could have done it ourselves, and we did the mailing, and we printed the translucent envelope. So, you know, that was a collaboration. I would say, and, you know, that was, you know, that was a case where it wasn't about the money, it was about the ROI, and, you know, those invitations cost about $10 a piece, but at a, you know, 20 times return they had the year earlier, our client was thrilled. You know, they didn't care. So, but, you know, to go back to your question, typically I think our customer has an idea of what they, you know, what they're trying to do, and then maybe some familiarity with the technology, but they need hand-holding. So, we still see ourselves in that support and educator and partner role in most cases.
You talked a little earlier, Greg, about some of the tools you're using, but, you know, what sources have you turned to or what helps you with executing that cross-media campaign?
We've really, you know, we've had to learn as we go, but, you know, the Kodak Market Mover and case studies and our business development specialist, you know, have really been great at helping us to understand each step. And we also belong to PODI, which is excellent when it comes to case studies. So, you know, if we're approached or we have a, let's say, an automotive dealer that, you know, we want to propose a campaign to, you know, we can go to PODI, look for a case study on automotive dealers and, you know, get some history and how it was done and what was the success of it. So we've really relied on that, as well as, you know, in some cases partnering with creatives who, you know, maybe have a little more expertise on the very front end.
And, John, you, I believe, wanted to say something about the benefits of testing.
Well, yeah, your previous question had been about, you know, customers' awareness of the options of, you know, different cross-media methods. And really the, you know, the key opportunity that provides is the opportunity to work with the customer to test solutions. And, you know, certainly every customer out there is different. They're marketing to different audiences. But, you know, we've certainly found tremendous opportunity to help customers identify with the demographics they're marketing to what is the best way. Certainly it all makes sense logically that most of our parents might not be the most receptive to a QR code that they're going to take a photo of from their cell phone. But certainly, you know, if we've got children or younger siblings, that's going to be a more common method. And really the other, you know, opportunity that develops in those dialogues is that opportunity to do, you know, sampling and testing.
We've got a little time left before we have some closing comments. So, John, I want to pick up a little on that with another question that was asked. In terms of marketing your service, you know, does that interaction end up being face-to-face, or are you sending out your own integrated campaigns? Does social media help at all?
You know, certainly I believe you have to, you know, walk the walk, so to speak. We certainly try to market ourselves using the same types of services that we share with AR and offer to our customers. Obviously, our demographic, you know, is going to be different than some of our customers. You know, being we're marketing business to business, you know, there's typically some demographic assumptions you can make for our marketing that might not be the same for our customers. But we try to incorporate, you know, the use of some of those other methods and other response channels into our own marketing. You know, so we provide things like quick response codes. We provide examples in our pieces of that are our own marketing materials that show integration into third-party solutions like a Salesforce.com, or you know, visit the website from an email, you'll automatically get a you know a print piece sent to you and a follow-up call. You know, we try to show customers how it works by doing it ourselves.
Okay. I'm going to turn it back over to Steve for some closing comments to bring us around full circle. And if there was any time left, we'll try and get to a question time or two more. So, Steve?
Okay, great. Thanks, Mark. So, yeah, a couple slides just to close up that I think really summarize nicely the content that we've been discussing for the last 50 minutes plus. And this slide I think is great because what it really touches on as an industry, printers, print service providers, you have acquired knowledge. This is knowledge that you've, you know, invested in, you've done the research, you've hired the resources that have those skill sets, and it has a value and it can be marketed with the proper campaign and support to go out and market those services to a buyer. To add that consulting knowledge, I heard that several times through the conversation of how you led the technical side of the partnership with the agency and delivering some really unique piece to market that had a lot of value and drove a lot of ROI. So really, it's your core competencies. I know we talk about this intersection of capabilities, but it's really your core competency. This is what you do and what you do very, very well. Now, with an industry that's, you know, evolving, and again, as we've touched on through the whole conversation, you see that value chain evolution going the other way, right? We've got all this acquired knowledge and technical skill from both the print service provider and the marketing service providers being carried upstream. And I think, you know, for a printer, the opportunity going forward is it's pretty wide open. Now, some of the cool things around, you know, the one-to-one marketing campaigns that have already begun to become very well entrenched, some of the evolving technologies that are out there now don't necessarily have to be so heavy data-driven. We've heard QR codes mentioned a couple times, and if you, you know, caught some of the Wall Street Journal or CNBC pieces during the holidays, there's this emerging mobile shopping strategy where with a little free product like mobile tags on your smartphone, you can shoot a picture of a UPC code, and they basically push data down to you of where in the mall you might find a better deal. So it's a really interesting evolution that's going on and how you participate in some of these e-channel deliveries, and print is the catalyst because in that Macy's or Bloomingdale's, as John mentioned, there's a point of purchase display that's probably going to have a QR code. And as a marketer, I'm very interested in that because not only do I know what you're interested in, if you've got GPS tracking, I know who you are. And if you're tied into Facebook, I have a lot of profile data about you. So I think, you know, direct mail is very much going to still have its piece. We're seeing these new technologies allow us to go in different places. I think print, you know, is still very, very much a relevant resource as we go forward. Now, you know, we talked a lot during the conversation, too, about, you know, you can't find one provider who can bring all those pieces together for you, and that's very, very true. I mean, it's just an immense task that no company has the resources and R&D resources to build every software component that you need. For us at Kodak, we're going to still very much be focused on those key pieces that we've delivered over the years, our production workflow systems, as John mentioned, Printergy and the associated products and our portal solutions, and be tightly coupling those with the digital front end, which I call the, you know, the Printergy render station of the future. Now, as we've talked throughout the course of the webinar about the need to help take these technology building blocks and tie them all together, and I think Greg nicely summarized some of the help that our market mover program provided for the guys at HOT. And this allows us to, you know, take a different approach here and bring you new services that will support you as you go forward. You know, it doesn't have to be just custom development solutions. It could be integration, you know, customized web to print, helping you figure out what that multiple channel solution is going to look like. We can bring people in to help you optimize your operation and not just pre-press. And, again, put together a whole strategy about how you're going to go out and market those services to your end client. So your end client knows about that acquired knowledge that you have, and, again, hopefully you'll be able to monetize that and take that forward in the future and continue to grow the business. So our commitment, you know, to you guys in the industry as Kodak is to leverage our acquired knowledge. You know, we're extremely focused on these markets. We've been here for a long, long time. This is all I've ever done. It's all my family has ever done is printing. And I hope my daughter follows me into the business as well. We want to take that body of knowledge that we have, our tremendous number of resources we have in R&D, and again, in our business consulting group, and bring you solutions. So that's our commitment. And again, if you'd like to chase down some follow-up information, you'd be more than happy to help have some more discussions with you as you go. And now I'll turn it back over to Mark, and we're 3 minutes early.
Well, I think we've got time for one quick more question then. Greg, you were talking about, you know, like the PODI case studies. When you go out to a client, can they relate to a project that was done for a different client or a different market, or do you really need to show them how it would be done in their market, their products?
Oh, I think they can definitely relate, Mark. And our first choice, of course, would be to have a, you know, we would always take samples of something, you know, that we had done that we thought, you know, related to the challenge that they were facing. But I think, sure, if you can show them a real-life case study of, you know, somebody even in a different market but, you know, related industry, I think that carries a lot of weight.
Okay. Well, that's about all the time we have today. On behalf of Kodak and Printing Impressions, I want to give a big thank you for the attending today's webinar. And, of course, thank all our speakers for the great content they provided. Information on future programs and access to the archived events are available on our website at piworld.com. And as you sign off, you'll see a survey, and we would appreciate you taking a moment to fill that out because it'll help us with our future webinars. And I'd like to say thank you again and wish everyone a great rest of your day.